It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Previously on the magical talking hat.
Is it that I feel like at this point there is one person who does all, who says previously on like every show. So one guy's got a fairly deep voice. Occasionally they'll use cast members to do it, but like there's this one other guy that just does all of them. He's probably the son of the guy who used to do the in the world of the trailers. So one guy's like previously on. I have been watching, like I said, I've been watching a lot of riff tracks. I watched one called The Dark Power that was so bad, like, it wasn't worth it to watch it as a riff tracks. Like, their jokes did not. I'm still kind of sorry I saw that one. But it's funny, there was somebody in it, because I was looking to see, like, where were these people. I do it a lot now, since I have a cell phone. Frequently, I pull up IMDb at least once while I'm, like, watching a movie. I'm like, where do I know them from? So, and it's really convenient. And I was doing this to find out where these people are, and almost none of the actors in that movie had ever been in, like, anything else. In fact, the most prolific ones only acted in this and had been, like, crew members in other shows, other produced things and stuff.
Right.
But there was this one, and you can tell, because in IMDb, if they actually have a picture, that's a good sign. And so Lash LaRue was in this movie. Fucking A. So, obviously, he was a big one. Old country star, or Western star. He had a whole series of, like, 11 movies about him and stuff. He was a big deal back in the day. This was, like, one of the last things he did when he was almost dead. He played this old guy. But anyway, there was this other woman in it who was playing this, like, 18-year-old girl or whatever. And so I was looking her up. I'm like, oh, she's been in things. She hasn't been in a lot, but what really weirded me out is she started off as a model, and then she did this acting in, like, this and, like, three music videos. That's it. But what she is most known from is she's a Real Housewife. I don't remember which one, but she's one of the Real Housewives of something. And it's one of the ones that's run for, like, 10 seasons.
Oh.
So she's absolutely... And somehow in my head, that's so weird to me that I'm like, hey, this woman I'm seeing here in this really shitty 80s movie went on unrelated to be on one of these goddamn reality shows, not one of the celebrity ones or anything, but just for being, you know, a wealthy housewife in whatever this town was. That seemed a very weird connection to me. But I don't want to talk about that one. There's a different one I got to talk about. But first, welcome back, everyone, to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast that is continuing on from what you listened to last week. That was also the Magical Talking Hat podcast. I have to add that in because I realized you could be listening to some sort of other serialized podcast, which would do that. But I bet you whatever one you listened to, the one before, was probably not an episode of the Magical Talking Hat.
Probably
this
not.
One is the only one.
Probably not.
I'm Tony.
And I'm William. This is episode
380. Even I knew this.
380.
Feels significant, is not significant.
20 but. Weeks away from episode 400.
Yeah.
Sometime in November.
You're going to get super excited if it's our Thanksgiving episode.
It's not.
Damn it. I love watching you get excited about stuff because then I can laugh. Like when you get excited about Arthurian timelines. Anyway, I want to talk to you about a different movie. Because I was a little scared to watch this one. Because it looked like it was going to be so bad. But it did it. And again, this is the thing I've deserved. So I think I talked before about I watched these Tales of the Unexpected. It's a TV show that was like a British version of The Twilight Zone.
Sure.
And they're dumb as shit. Roald Dahl wrote like 1,000 short stories in which extremely little happens. And they're not that interesting. But I like watching them, and I think it's an anthropology thing again. I think it's a cultural thing. I am fascinated watching what, I don't even want to say like what Brits acted like in the late 70s, but what Brits thought Brits acted like. I'm just fascinated by the cultural vibe, because most of those stories are set in what at the time is the present day.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that fascinating. But so I like watching, that's part of why I like watching these bad movie things. I'm like, somebody thought this was a real movie. Like, like some movies are of such a poor transparency that you can draw a lot of conclusions about the filmmakers from it.
Sure.
This is an example. You can draw a lot of conclusions about Santa Claus and the Ice Cream Bunny by watching it.
Okay.
First off, it appears to have been shot, I'm going to say in the 60s. It was in color. Did they have home video cameras back then? Because it feels like it was made on a home video camera. Like, it's such cheap quality of film and such amateur shooting and everything. A ton of it is clearly improvised. And the whole plot is Santa's sleigh got stuck in the sand on the beach in Florida. And the reindeer had to fly away because they couldn't pull it out and they were starting to overheat. So Santa is stuck on the beach. So he telepathically summons nearby children and one dog. And they give a parade of various real animals, for the most part, attempts to pull the sleigh. It doesn't work. He tells the children a story, which I'll get into. Once the story's done, the kids go get the ice cream bunny in his car. And he just drives up and gives Santa a ride off. And that's the end.
The end.
And it's like an 86-minute movie.
The Ice Cream Bunny?
The Ice Cream Bunny.
The Ice Cream Bunny.
You know how you know he's the Ice Cream Bunny?
Mm-mm.
He's a guy in a bunny suit,
mm-hmm.
and they call him the Ice Cream Bunny. That's it. Well, I should say,
wasn't two guys in a horse suit. That would have been a real
Cars, because rabbits are sometimes just ice cream bunnies. There's no ice cream in this film. There is no reference to ice cream in this film, unless you consider identifying someone as the ice cream bunny to be a reference to ice cream.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you something that should explain a lot. I don't know if it will. This movie was very clearly made for and by a very low-budget, independent Florida amusement park.
Oh.
You don't necessarily know that up front, because it's just Santa. It's just a dude in a Santa suit, literally in Florida, sitting in the hot sun, in the sand, on the beach, in a sleigh. And you can, like, really tell, like, at one point he actually gets up from the sleigh, and the entire back of his suit is disgusting. Like, his pants are brown. I genuinely don't think he pooped himself. I think it's like sweat. But the seat of his pants is brown. It's awful. He's in the full thing. In fact, one time he takes off the jacket, but it's a big thing in the story that Santa has to look presentable. So he puts the jacket back on. And, yeah, he telepathically summons the children. Which is a really weird thing, because, like, what happens is all the children are doing shit, and it freezes frame, and, like, he talks into their mind, and then later it unfreezes and shit. So you kind of feel like he actually stopped time and talked to them, and then started it, and they all came. I don't know. But then what happens is animals. This movie's also incredibly unsafe. You couldn't do this movie now. This is genuine little children leading, by themselves, a live, real mule. To, like, one kid, he's like a 5-year-old kid, leading a mule to the sleigh and trying to hook the mule up to it and then trying to get the mule to pull it. I say mostly real animals because we start with a girl who I'm going to say is barely old enough to walk, leading along somebody in a gorilla suit.
Okay.
Who they hook up to the sleigh and tries to pull it. But after that, it's fucking all real animals. It's a real mule. It's a real horse. It's a real sheep. It's a real pig. It's a real dog. all of these have not insignificant screen time to watch them get hooked up, fail to pull the sleigh, and get led away. I also want to point out, because, by the way, spoilers for Santa and the Ice Cream Bunny. Just saying. It is important to point out, when the kids first show up, they try and brainstorm ideas.
Oh.
And one of them says, you could fly back to the North Pole on one of those planes, pointing up at the sky. And Santa says, I feel like all of Santa's lines are ad-libbed, says, that's not a bad idea. I might have to do that. But, you know, how would I get my sleigh back? I can't take the sleigh on the airplane. And so that idea is dismissed. This will matter later.
Okay.
So then, Santa, for no reason, decides to tell the children a story.
Okay.
This is how Santa's story goes. First of all, we get the opening credits to the story.
There's opening credits.
Separate opening credits. It has a separate title. That's where we find out it's the amusement park, which is called Pirates Cove. Pirates something.
Okay.
Pirates Garden. Pirates Porta Potty. I don't know. I forget now, but it's Pirates something. It's the name of the amusement park. And they're like, presented by, and they say Pirates, and they list out the cast for this thing they're about to say, stuff like that. We then go to easily 5 minutes, maybe 10, of a woman, a young woman, doing stuff at the amusement park. Riding on rides, going to eat ice cream, not talking with anybody. Not close enough that we could hear her if she was. This is like stalker cam. Like, she's off in the distance, and we see her doing
things.
So
she is. There is ice cream in it.
Possibly. I don't remember if she actually did that. But cotton, she's just doing shit. I don't know. Yeah, but there might be ice cream. But the bunny's not around at this point. Okay. So what the hell? Maybe the bunny's filming. I don't know. But at a certain point, she goes into a building where there are dioramas set up. And on the speaker, somebody is narrating a first-person version from the perspective of Mrs. Mole of the story of Thumbelina.
Okay.
But then there are actual sets and people in costume that act out that story.
Okay.
Periodically going back to remind us all that it's this woman looking at a diorama while it's coming out the speaker. So Santa is telling the children a story about a woman who hung out at an amusement park, went and looked at a diorama that told another story that he's telling them. Mm-hmm. It's dumb as shit is what I'm telling you right up front here. So then we have Thumbelina. It's awful. I had forgotten. Thumbelina is like the worst story ever. Thumbelina is just a series of this tiny girl getting kidnapped and attempting to force her into marriages until eventually someone attempts to force her into a marriage that she kind of likes, so she goes with that one. It is a trash story. Seriously, 3 different attempts to force into marriage, and she goes with the third one. And her reasonings are terrible, too. Like, the second one, which almost happens, she kind of agrees to, but she's sort of pushed into it. And she's like, if only he were younger or more handsome or, like, to be fair, he's an old mole. But still, it's a garbage story. Thumbelina is the worst story ever. But so we have this whole thing. Suffice it to say, it's not well acted.
Okay.
All right, we can just give you that.
Sure.
So eventually, they finish the story that the woman is watching that Santa is telling them about. Then, Santa's once again concerned how he's going to get a sleigh. I want to even say we saved an animal for now and like tied up one of them now and tried to do it. Didn't work. And then the kids get an idea that they don't tell us about and they run off. And then we have, again, at least a solid 3 minutes of watching the ice cream bunny drive his early model Ford of some kind. Very, very old-timey car. Like, it has a crank in the front car. Over wagon tracks. Basically. I mean, it's really not a road any car should be on. But it's him in the thing full with children. And it's the derpiest rabbit costume you've ever seen. He just has a little, like his mouth is closed, but there's one sort of gap,
mm-hmm.
and the mouth doesn't move, and he doesn't say anything. Mm. So he just looks like he's having an insane laugh, and you just caught him like midway through. And he shows up and gives Santa a ride away. I don't know how he's going to drive to the North Pole. I don't care. Because you know what I'm focused on right now?
Like the
fucking
there, yeah.
sleigh is still there. They address it, though.
Oh, they do.
You know how?
How do they do
it? It goddamn disappears.
He
drives off and it fades away. I'm like, if you had gone to the fucking airport hours ago, you would be halfway home by now if you could do that shit. That is the movie. It is the dumbest. Oh my God. Such a bad movie. Riff Tracks couldn't even say it. So I don't recommend it for anybody, but Jesus Christ, it's terrible. And I want to go find Pirates, whatever it is. And if it's still in business, I don't know. Kick somebody in the crotch. I don't even. Somebody who works there. Because it's the worst thing ever. It retroactively killed my childhood. I don't even know how, but like, it's so bad. So yeah, I watched that. I don't recommend it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It boggles the mind.
I'm still boggled. I'm quite boggled. But I still got that joke about cars because sometimes horses are two guys in costume, so I use that to keep me warm at night. What are you doing over there, Addie? Did you knock some clothes down so you could, like, trash them? I feel like you did. I felt so bad before podcasting. I had some laundry in the chair, and Twiglet had made a nice little nest out of it. And I was like, sorry, gonna kick you out now. Got a podcast. For those of you just joining us for the first time, go back one episode, and I'll explain how it works. But otherwise, we're here.
We're here. Here we are.
At Peter's Donuts. I still want copies of your sermons.
Yeah.
Because I still can't picture it. And when I try, you just turn into L. Ron McKenzie.
Have you never heard a sermon before?
Well, for starters, very few.
Okay.
I
mean, it's pretty much just like all the ones you've probably heard, more
well,
or less.
Well, of the few I've heard, none of them sounded like any of the others. Sermons can vary widely.
I guess.
In what the point of them is, what the tone of them is, frequency and emphasis on Jeebus or his dad. Yeah, there's a lot of factors. Number of
money.
Star Trek references varies. You think, no, they're probably all zero. No, varies. Yeah. Something this week reminded us all. Star Trek, when it was 40 years old, I think, did a whole show honoring it. And this was in the, I think, late 90s, early aughts, maybe. Whatever. It was when two things were on the air at the time, new and popular. Voyager and Frasier. And they did a skit where Kate Mulgrew is there as the captain, but all the crew has been replaced with the cast of Frasier. Apparently it was absolute crap. Or at the time it didn't, but now it looks like that. But what's really funny is I'm reading about it, and everybody's like, the only member who's not there is Kelsey Grammer. And they're like, was he too big for this or what? But when I read in the comments of the thing about it, no, apparently he was... Kate Mulgrew wasn't going to be in it. Mm. He was going to be the captain.
Mm.
And then he went into rehab, like, right before it happened. So they were like, quick, yeah, Kate, come on. You just be yourself again, and we'll work around you. So, but yeah, you should go check that out. I'll bet you'd have fun with that.
I'll bet I would.
Because she's your girlfriend.
Yep.
William and Kate Mulgrew sitting in a tree. S-T-A-R-T-R-E. Okay. Star Trek.
Yep.
V-O-Y-A. No, sorry. I thought I had other stuff that I, like, saved for... I was going to do it in the second half. I don't remember what it is now. I've watched enough Riff Tracks that the Jonathan Colton Riff Tracks theme song runs through my head a lot. It's long. It has verses and shit.
Mm.
And I think I just about have the whole thing memorized now, which is weird. Yeah, I feel like I should have other interesting things to talk about. Are there any movies you're looking forward to that, like, aren't out yet?
Well, I'm not, I don't know if I should be excited about Aquaman coming up.
When is that happening? I haven't heard boo about that.
I want to say November.
Really? They have not been marketing that very heavily.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. But that's supposed to be this year. I don't know how to feel about, Star Wars. That's going to.
When is season December? 9?
Episode
9.
Episode has next year.
Because that's the extra mystery as to why the hell they didn't put Solo
in December. Yeah. So I guess I don't have to worry about that one for a while.
Ant-Man and the Wasp is coming up.
I'm kind of looking forward to that, actually.
I wasn't looking forward to it, then I was a teensy bit looking forward to it, and then I saw the latest trailer, and now I don't care anymore. Like, the trailer looked really boring to me. I'm going to see it, because it's a rule. But
I think The Nun is supposed to be out this year. I'll probably see that.
I don't know The Nun.
It's part of the Conjuring thing.
Oh, yeah. You'll see that? Seriously? Oh, my God.
Probably see it.
I'm a little excited. Trish is very excited for Tag.
No, we probably won't see that.
Well, here's the thing. It's not... My boss, for some reason, was really excited about the premise. For those who don't know, it's this group of guys that has kept a single game of tag going for 30 years. And it's a way that they sort of keep in touch and stuff. But part of the thing involves one of the guys, played by Jeremy Renner, has never been it. And so there's something where they're all coming together because somebody's getting married or something. And so hijinks are going to ensue. But here's the deal. It is Ed... I lost his name. I tried this earlier. Ed... Helms, oh my God. Bisbol, that's what it is. Ed Helms. Ed Helms is in it. John Hamm is in it. Hannibal Buress is in it. As mentioned earlier, Jeremy Renner is in it. And these aren't like cameos. These are the friends. And I never remember his name, but the guy who plays Nick on New Girl, who I also really like as a comedian, is in it. And... The premise to me is like, whatever.
I mean, it's based on a true story or whatever.
Yeah, but that cast, yeah, I have to see it, kind of. Like, there's too much interesting that could happen with that group of guys working together. And what's really funny is today, last week for you people, Trish is, she's, like I said, she's in Chillicothe, but she's working remotely from there, so we were still in touch on Instant Messenger. And she sends me a link to a YouTube video. It's some YouTube channel called Barstool Sports, I think. Understandably, I'm sure you would get that I'd never heard of them before. And it's some guy. He's on there. But the thing is, he had all five of those guys. And they were hanging out on the street. I came into the video in the middle because it didn't really matter. But it was a publicity thing for them. What's weird is I didn't figure out till the end that it was. I was like, this is a weirdly eclectic group of gentlemen out here. And what they were doing was they were eating some pizza from someplace near there and rating it. But while they're doing it, somebody off camera is like, oh my God, I know you from your video. And everybody pauses. And the host of the thing says, are you talking to me? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, get over here. He's like, the fact that I'm the one you recognize is really amazing. And so she comes over and he's like, get in the shot. And then she's like, oh my God, you're John Hamm. I didn't even notice. And then they get her involved. They're like, have a piece of pizza. You ready? And throughout the thing, she recognizes more of them. And it ends, the final one is she turns around because somebody behind her is talking about her. He's like, well, what? Because her name was Sam, I think. So, well, what Sam, like what Sam said about the pizza. And she turns around and she's like, oh my God, because it was Ed Helms. And she clearly knew him from The Office because she's like, you're the Nard Dog. And then she went, which are two things related to Ed Helms' character on The Office. His nickname in college, which he's still obsessed with his college days, was the Nard Dog, and he likes to refer to himself that way and, like, hope other people will. Nobody ever does. And he's obsessed with a cappella, and that's part of the thing. Is his group of friends, he was in an a cappella group. And so that's his little, like, that's his sort of lead-in to stuff. And so frequently, whenever he sort of has a gap for something, or when he's nervous, he goes, and it's sort of like the equivalent of, like, 1, 2, 3, 4 kind of thing. And so, like, she immediately does that to him. And she's tiny. Like, I'm pretty sure she was under 18. I don't know. She's a kid to me. She's definitely a kid. And she's just so excited. And it made it so fun because of that, watching her doing that. So, yeah, Trish sent that to me. She's like, you have to watch at least through this. And yeah, it was pretty funny. So, yeah, we're kind of excited about that one. I want to see Artemis Hotel. It sounds like it's not groundbreaking, but it kind of looks cool. But I might wait till it's on cable,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, we might watch it on Netflix or something.
The premise is good. It clearly came about because of fucking John Wick. And John Wick's attempt to build something like that kind of has ruined John Wick. But I still like the idea. So if it's not John Wick, like, maybe you guys can use that idea and not ruin it. Did I tell you about the joke I'm playing on my sister with Steel Dawn, the Patrick Swayze movie?
No.
No, really?
I don't think so.
Oh my God, I have to talk about this then. I have a lot to say tonight, don't I?
I guess so.
Sorry. You look sad. Are you sad?
No, I didn't sleep last night, so. I'm very tired.
I couldn't sleep at all last night.
Which means when I drive home,
just thinking of you.
It'll be the equivalent to being inebriated.
Yes, Mythbusters had taught us.
So I need to be very careful.
Yes, luckily it should still be light. Anyway, no, I have the best joke, well, the most Tony thing ever.
Okay.
But it's not going to happen.
Are you going to cover a hole with wood and then have her stand on it and then she'll fall through?
No, that was my cousin's thing ever. Oh, that's still traumatizing. No. So when I'm visiting, I feel like I did tell this. All right, well, we'll see.
I don't remember.
When I'm home in Oregon.
But I'm exhausted, so.
I'm in an argument with my sister. And the argument has to do with a poster that was on the back of her bedroom door when she was younger.
This is a usual argument?
No. First time. I brought it up, and she disagrees with me.
This is an argument you had when recently?
While I was there.
Okay.
We're having an argument. And we're having it because I mentioned this poster she had on the back of her door because she was obsessed with Patrick Swayze. And it was a poster for a movie called Steel Dawn. And all it said was Steel Dawn, and then it had a picture of that was basically just a headshot of Patrick Swayze with a headband and a beard looking sort of up. And I remember she had told me it was some sort of sci-fi or fantasy movie I'd never heard about. I was kind of fascinated with it as a kid, I think because I really liked sci-fi and fantasy movies, and I kind of thought Patrick Swayze was cool, and I thought beards were cool, and I'd never seen Patrick Swayze with a beard, so this was really cool. My sister doesn't believe this happened. I don't fully understand, but I think she doesn't think and the poster was there, but she also thinks I'm confusing Steel Dawn with a Red Dawn, which had Patrick Swayze in it. And that's the thing. I'm like, I understand Red Dawn's a movie. I haven't seen it. I know what it's about. I know Patrick Swayze's in it. I've seen scenes from it. This is not that. But you can't really argue with my sister very well if she's confident. And so I'm like, whatever. And it's not, it doesn't matter.
But you had clearly your phones. You could look it up.
Yeah, but it didn't matter. Okay. So I dropped it. Whatever. So come home after the trip one time, and I'm watching Good Bad Flicks, that YouTube channel. We've talked about this before, I think. He does little, like, 15-minute things about movies that were, like, really terrible, but good, like, so bad they're good.
Okay.
And it's, he goes through a synopsis of the movies, making fun of it. It's like a shortened version of, like, a Mystery Science Theater, in a way.
Sure.
And then at the end, he frequently will tell you the things that were actually good about it and interesting details. Like, this was the last thing this director did, and before, he'd done these things, which had gone well. Or, like, this was the first time so-and-so was in this. You know her because she went on to other things and all that kind of stuff. Or, this was supposed to go like this, but then there were budgetary issues and this happened. So, it's an interesting show, and it's amusing. And so I'm cruising through the ones on the channel. I'm like, what's here? And there's one for Steel Dawn. And I'm like, I'm seeing this. And I'm also like, I was goddamn right. Because it has Patrick Swayze, and there it is. And I'm like, I was too much. But I'm like, I don't want to be petty like that. Like, it's weird. You know, so I'm like, I'm not going to leave it. So I'm watching this, and I'm like, this would probably be funny to watch now. Like, it's not Mystery Science Theater, it's just the movie. Like, it's a very late 80s post-apocalyptic kind of movie with Patrick Swayze. And it's Patrick Swayze, like, the year before Dirty Dancing, so he's got Roadhouse, but he's not a big deal yet. And also, it's got a lot of admittedly bad martial arts stuff, because he was a dancer, and so they frequently made that look like martial arts. And I'm like, my brother-in-law would probably like that, because he likes old kung fu movies, and he studies martial arts stuff. And so I'm like, I know what I should do. This is the most Tony thing. It's one part being a jerk, two parts being a nice person, and five parts amusing the shit out of myself.
Okay.
So here's what
I do.
That's
a lot of parts.
Yeah. It's a good recipe.
Parts?
It's a good recipe. Well, because you can make it very, you can scale it up if you want to.
Sure.
Make a larger batch or whatever.
Sure.
We don't measure it out. We just, in parts. I don't call her or email my sister anything like that. I just go on Amazon and I have a copy of the DVD of Steel Dawn shipped to them with no information or anything.
Mm.
I love this. And then got fucked up.
How?
Because it wasn't, you can't buy new copies of the DVD. You might be able to get a Blu-ray, I don't know, but you can't get new copies of the DVD. So I had to get a very good used copy from somebody who wasn't Amazon.
Mm.
And they fucking shipped it to the billing address instead.
Which was you.
Yes. So now it's here. Mm. Now I can still send it, and I plan to. But we don't have five parts of amusing the shit out of me anymore. Like, it doesn't work. I couldn't just anonymously send it from me. She'll know it's from me, because she'll see that. Right. It's not as funny.
That's eight total parts, because there's one, two, and five.
Oh, sorry, for eight parts.
Yeah, eight
You're
parts.
Really way too focused on that part.
I'm
of
very
the parts.
Tired.
So, it's not as funny that way, and I thought about typing up thing. So what I'm probably going to do is some point here soon. Well, and the other problem is they're going on a trip soon, and at this point I don't think I can get it to them in time. And they're going on a kind of a long trip. So I'm like, so that doesn't work anyway. So what's probably going to happen is sometime before they go on the trip, I will call my sister and I will tell her this saga. Because, like I said, it doesn't amuse me as much now. But what amuses me slightly more is telling about how awesome it would have been. Like I'm doing right
now. You don't think it'd be funny if they got back from a long trip and this was just in their big pile of
mail? No, I'm just worried what might happen to it if it's while they're gone. So... But I still intend to send it. But also, this way, potentially, I could watch it before I send it. So that'd be fun. Because I kind of want to see it. Because I think it'd be funny.
Yeah, might be.
All right. Well, before William falls asleep here, we should draw some things out of the hat.
Yes, we should do that. Stew...
Not hungry. Oh, that's stew. All right.
Do you anticipate...
Formerly Welsh stew.
Do you anticipate a change in career as is popular these days?
All the kids are...
There should be a question mark there.
Changing careers.
It's like a statement. Anyway, if so, what would you do?
This is tricky because I don't know if you could argue that either of us really have careers.
That's true.
I
mean, I don't know. I've thought about, like, you know, a lot of people when they get older and they don't feel like retiring or they can't retire or whatever. I don't think I'm going to be in the situation where I can't retire, but I don't know if I'm going to want to not do anything. I might decide to stop doing what I'm doing now and do something else. You know, like drive a school bus or... I don't know.
You'd make a good school bus driver.
Stuff like that.
Not when you're tired, but...
No.
You know, or drunk.
Or work in a library, or... you know, stuff that you often see elderly people doing. Of course, a lot of times they're doing those things on a volunteer basis, which I could do it volunteer, it doesn't matter. But if we're talking switching careers, it would be something that I would like, you know, be making money at, presumably. I don't think I'd do something I can't see myself doing, like the Walmart greeter or anything like that, but, you know, something where...
That would be awesome.
Some kind of job that doesn't pay a whole lot, maybe is almost like an entry-level thing, but, you know, it's a job where they'll definitely hire an older person if they think that person isn't going to fall down and break a hip or something. I might do something like that, just to have something to do. I've thought about that. But, like, I don't know if that counts as a change in career. I can't think of what I would do other than what I'm doing. I mean, can you?
I don't know what I'm doing with my life. I've been thinking of getting into male modeling or high finance. Homestar Runner, dude. Come on.
Nope.
I don't know what I'm doing with my wife. I've been thinking of getting into male modeling or high finance. I think that's the one where he introduces... Strongbad introduces him to the one-legged puppy drawing he has called Little Brother. Nope. Where he says he can make anybody cry.
Thanks for the skillet nap, Strongbad.
Thanks for the skillet nap. I don't remember when, but at some point Strongbad called somebody Slowby. When they were, like, late to something or whatever. And I use that a lot now. Like, glad you finally got here, Slowby. That's about it. New game coming up. I'm thinking about trying to find a way to get Sinnoh Card Gauge in there.
The thing is, I've done so many things in my life. You know?
Longshoreman.
I mean, there's not a lot of things.
CIA assassin.
There's not a lot of things that I haven't done.
A lamp. He was a lamp for a while.
And so, you know, I pretty much know how things are going to go.
There's two lamps
like it.
For a while. Remember Flo from the Progressive commercials? He was her. He was also Flo from the Bounty commercials. So he's been Flo a couple of times. You remember Flo from the Quicker Picker Upper?
Oh, yeah.
That was you.
That's right.
He was Clara Peller from the Where's the Beef commercials.
I'm very tired, so I don't remember.
All the times you were old ladies in commercials in the 70s and 80s?
Yeah.
How do you not remember that?
Well, there's a lot of drugs.
You stole that joke from me. That's a Tony joke there. I did that one today in a work email. They were like, I'm surprised you missed that typo. And I'm like, yeah. But I'm pretty tired and pretty drunk, and I haven't eaten in like 3 days, so that could be it.
I'm hepped up on gin.
In the words of Colonel Sanders, I'm too drunk to taste this chicken. Shut up. I like Talladega Nights. I don't know why I feel bad about it, but that movie makes me laugh. A lot. I don't like most of his other ones, but that movie makes me laugh.
Thank you for my smoking hot wife.
Yes, thank you. Dear little tiny baby Jesus with your baby Einstein's DVDs. When you lead the prayer, you can make Jesus however old you want. He could be an adult. He could be a little teenager Jesus. He could be like an old man. But when I do it, I want the little baby Jesus. Can't even walk yet in his little swaddling clothes. Yep. You always told me, if you're not first, you're last. That's stupid. You could be all sorts of things besides first. Like, you could be second. You could be third. Hell, you could be fourth. Yeah.
That's a weird movie, though. Very weird.
You're not crippled. Oh, yeah? So if I jam this knife into my leg, don't do it. Don't do it. Welcome to Magical Talking Hat Podcast.
Welcome started. I'm tired.
Just,
I'll probably just
quote.
Start
well, what cracks me up is so then years later I'm watching 30 Rock, and there's Kenneth the Page, Jack Brayer. he's in that movie, but like he's one of the crew team, but the only bit I remember that is of any significance of him being in it is to try and psych up Ricky. They tell him he died, and he needs to do it for that guy, but then he's like poking around the side of the garage, like looking. And he's like, I can see you over there. I'm like, you weren't supposed to be there. And he's like, I wanted to see if he was sad. It's also one of the few times I like Sacha Baron Cohen is that movie. Probably because it wasn't his own film, so that helps. I saw the Highlander last night. It was shit. It's such a fucking dumb movie. And, like, seriously, all the other, like, because they made, like, 12 other, him and John C. Reilly made, and Adam McKay made, and they suck. I hate them.
Walk Hard?
Well, okay, Walk Hard is pretty clever, honestly. Walk Hard has some great moments in it. I shouldn't take that drug. I might get addicted. Oh, no, it's not addictive. Well, I don't want it to, like, mess up my brain or anything. It doesn't cause any permanent damage. Well, I don't want to lose all my money. It's the cheapest drug there is. You walk away from here. I don't want to have a bad trip. You can't. It always makes you feel good. Yeah, Walk Hard is pretty good, too. But fuck Step Brothers.
I didn't see Walk Hard. Or Step Brothers.
La Casa de Mi Padre.
Don't know.
It's a movie that they made. It's set in Mexico. And the entire movie is in Spanish.
Oh.
But otherwise, it's just a Will Ferrell dopey comedy movie. Like, that's the whole thing, but it's in Spanish. Like, I'm curious about that. But also the time when he and Kristen Wiig did a fake Lifetime movie that looks exactly like a real Lifetime movie. Like, that's the whole joke, is they just did a movie and they played it straight. And it's one of those Lifetime movie plots where it's like they find out their daughter's been cyberbullied or something. Mm. You know, all of that bullshit. I forget what it's called, but they're clever people. I just don't like a lot of the shit they do. Anyway.
Do you remember the thing they did with that little girl that they called Pearl? Or whatever?
Oh, yes. Where's the rent? You pay now. You pay now, bitch. Then they did a sequel that was not very good. Yeah, I need to get my drink on. Can I have 4 beers?
You're so mean.
I ought to smack you. Go to Funny or Die, people, and look up The Landlady.
It was pretty funny.
It's a classic, and it's really good with the
interrogation room.
It was not as funny, yeah, no.
I don't know why they even went there.
Because they were trying to keep it going, but, yeah.
But the landlady thing was set up perfect for that, really.
Well, and that was the joke. So doing a second one, it's like you already told this joke. Yeah. And they made it just, I don't know, in a way, it just made me more uncomfortable. Like, something about that one, Angry Drunk Baby, is funny to me. But, like, creepy, vulgar, dirty cop baby somehow bothered me more.
A bridge too far, huh?
You're drunk right now. I'm just buzzed. And the outtakes of that are adorable. They're all like, pay the rent. Say, pay the rent. And that's why at the very end when she leaves, she's like, bye, mommy. And in the outtakes, you can see it's because her mom's hiding behind the door prompting her all this stuff. But they left that bit in for some reason. All right. Give me the hat. It's my turn to draw some crap out of it.
Don't leave. Pearl's going to drop by.
Oh, man. I'm out of here. She scares me. Seriously, people, there's not a lot of questions in this hat. You need to write some. Yeah. Or else Pearl's going to smack you.
This episode sucked because I'm so tired.
All right. This one, I'm really surprised this one is not a bridge because it's fucking long.
Okay.
It's from Stew again. Stew heavy episode. Beef stew. I'm going to try and think of the... craziest thing I can think of with my imagination. Beef stew. Yep, it's broken. If the technology becomes routine, would you pay to be a space tourist? Stew. And then there's a parenthetical that says, e.g., a trip on a Virgin Galactic plane or on Jeff Bezos' Blue Origin.
No.
First of all, I haven't heard of Jeff Bezos' Blue Origin, but I also fucking hate Jeff Bezos. But to be fair, I kind of hate Richard, the Virgin guy, too.
Yeah,
so.
What is that guy's last? Richard.
Something. I keep wanting to say Attenborough. I'm like, that's not, no.
No, I wouldn't.
Richard.
I wouldn't
I'm losing
that.
Last names lately.
I'm too old for that stuff.
Well, I don't think I would qualify. Like, I barely am allowed on roller coasters at this point. Because, you know, like, if you have a heart condition or chronic, like, what the hell are the requirements to go into orbit? And also, I...
Well, I'm this side of starting to be the kind of person that gets car sick when I'm driving the car.
Yeah.
So, it's just no way.
Yeah, there's like, it's except, like, I would always, the lower stakes version of this, and it's still hard to do, but, like, to pay to be on what they call the Vomit Comet, the airplane that goes up and down, so you can do, I always thought that would be cool. And that's achievable. Like, it's not cheap, but lots of people have done that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, no, I would throw up a lot. I don't like that.
No, I do not like that. That would be zero fun.
And, I mean, I don't know. Here's my big thing. It would be a lot of money. And I'm worried that it would be like me in the Lincoln Memorial. I'm worried I'd get up into low Earth orbit and people are like, oh, the stars! Yeah, they look like when I've seen the stars. And, oh, look, the curvature of the Earth! You could actually see the curvature! I'd be like, yeah, like when you see pictures of the curvature of the Earth. Like, here's what I might do. If the technology becomes routine and there's a point I could... I might pay for a flat earther celebrity to go up. Because I really want that. I really want one... flat earthers have been around forever, and they've been one of two things. Absolute fucking nutters. And people who just... Trolls, basically. People who think it's funny.
Yeah.
To be like, oh, no, I think it's flat. And now there's a sizable number of people who are really into this shit, who are, I mean, crazy in that sense, but they're not wearing tinfoil. Like, they're kind of normal people who really think they've explained this and shit. And I'm like, God damn it. I want one of the most credible flat earthers, whoever it is, to get a chance to go up there and fucking see it. Or, because the other option is I want to take one of the more credible flat earthers and pay for them to get an astrophysics degree.
Okay, but, I mean, my experience with seeing, like, mountains on the scale of the Rockies or whatever.
Yeah.
Actually fake. Going there to see it.
The GoPro adds in the peaks.
No. Actually going there to see it is not anywhere close to being the same as seeing a picture of it. It's pretty spectacular to see it.
Or going to the ocean. Sometimes I have that, but sometimes I don't have that. And I don't know which it would be.
It's hard to imagine actually seeing the Earth from space wouldn't be a profound experience regardless. I mean, how could it not be? Mm. It's just going to surpass the photograph so much, and the photograph is moving enough, honestly.
Yeah, no, I like the photograph.
I know, when I see the pictures of these things, I am moved by it. So it is hard to imagine that I would be more moved, but I think I would be. But that's just because...
Well, at least like 25 miles up, you'd be moved.
Just because...
That was a joke that I worded in such a way that it just was a normal sentence. God damn it.
For me, I've always been more impressed by seeing the mountains or seeing the ocean or seeing the... I've always been more impressed by seeing...
Lincoln Memorial.
Every single time I've been more impressed. I've never saw something in person and that's it? I've always been
the biggest right. exception for me is when you see for the first time, like in person, dog poop that has turned white. it is more impressive than the pictures. You're like the 3DS, like you can look around it and stuff. It's like, it's just like a normal dog turd, but it's white.
It's like
what
a miracle.
What is that about?
It's like a Christmas miracle.
Yeah. I hate, you may be aware I like stand-up comedy.
I am aware of that.
And I try and be good about it. I'm a good audience member. I do buy in. Like, they want to make me laugh. I need to want to laugh. You laugh, but it's a serious, like, there's a component. And much more so when it's live. But to me, there's something of that when I'm listening to, like, an album or a recorded thing, too. I'm like, you know, I have to get in. But there are times where I'm just like, your premise is flawed. And therefore, it doesn't work. And the reason I bring this up now is I had one recently. Trish and I were watching one. It was this British woman who had moved to the U.S. But she talks a lot about, like, differences or whatever. And she said, one of the things she said is, like, you Americans don't have white dog poop here. And the way she explained it was that British dog food in the 70s and 80s had, like, too much calcium in it or something. Mm. And so they would do that. And I'm just like, no. Dog poop turns white when it's outside too long, when it lays around too long.
Dries out or whatever.
And the reason we don't have it anymore is everybody's required to pick
it
up.
That's right.
So, like, she had this whole bit, which might have been funny, but I was too distracted by the fact that I'm like, no, that's completely wrong. And then just the other day, this one threw me, because I'm listening to Sirius XM, one of the comedy channels, and they're playing Louis C.K. And I'm like, really? And then I'm like, am I still going to find it funny? I'd like to. I know objectively that he was funny.
Sure.
But I also know I have trouble with this now.
Mm-hmm.
Cosby doesn't sound funny to me. Objectively, Cosby was hilarious. I don't laugh when I hear him anymore. So I'm like, I don't know how this is going to go. And there's a little bit of that. But also, it must have been some early shit because it was not good.
Mm.
He was talking. The whole idea that is potentially funny is this concept that we, as humans, are now essentially outside of the food chain and don't have to worry about, like, something coming to get us. And that's kind of a Louis C.K. premise, and there's humor in that. But he keeps going in these weird directions, and one of the biggest ones is he's like, do you realize how amazing that is? We are the only living things that got out of the food chain. And I'm like, no, we are not, and no, we did not. I'm like, first of all, we're still in the food chain. You know how I know? Because we still eat shit.
Yeah.
And second of all, what you're talking about is an apex predator, and there's tons of them.
Yep, there are other apex predators.
So, and then I just, like, between that and the fact that I'm kind of bugged by him, like, the combination, like, he went on for, and I'm just like, none of this is funny. And then he switched to, it was because it segued into sharks. And then he segued, like, do sharks feel, he says, I think sharks don't think anybody can see that top fin when they're swimming. And it's kind of funny, but I'm also like, first of all, that's one kind of shark. And second of all, they don't do that very much. Like, in the wild, you don't see that very often. It's not like sharks hunt that way or anything. I'm like, yeah, maybe what you're saying is the shark in all the dumb shark movies doesn't know. Yeah, and I'm like, that's not a joke. But I hate myself. I consider it my problem. But I'm still that much of a nerd that I'm just like, technically, your premise cannot be established. Therefore, all your jokes are rendered inert.
Rendered
inert. We use that voice. I think Robot Chicken's where they got the nerd who's like, actually. And so Dan and I use that. And one time we were talking something when we were planning something with gaming, and we're all there, and I'm like, something about how something was phallic, and I'm like, oh, so we should make a yonic one. And he's like, technically, Tony, the phallus is not the opposite of the yoni. If we're being accurate, it would be the loni and the lingus. And I was like, what's a lingus? And he's like, a phallus. And we just all fell out of our chairs. Because he was just so matter-of-fact, but still doing the voice. He's like, it's a phallus.
Mm.
Yeah, there's not enough time for another question. I am, like I said, I'm doing two games right now. We are creating this Dresden Files one,
right,
which is coming along nicely. We're making a very cool, creepy, small Pacific Northwest town,
right,
where shit happens and nobody knows. They want sort of a very mysterious game, and that's coming across pretty well. But I'm also working on a game for June 30th, a one-shot, that's going to take the whole day. That's going to have 7 players. It's going to have my 4 regular players, plus the producer, who doesn't game, Coffee, who doesn't game, but Neuroduck, her wife, does. She's in my gaming group. But Coffee and the producer, and the producer's sister, which started the whole thing, her little sister, Steph, because she has been watching YouTube videos of people like playing D&D and stuff, mm-hmm, and she thinks she's interested. And I think this would absolutely be her kind of thing. So I'm like, you know what? We're going to do it. We're going to set up a day, and we're going to introduce you to gaming.
Cool.
And so I got my friends all on board. We're going to do it. No, it sucks.
Why?
Because I have to create it.
Okay.
Well, I don't do that in a vacuum normally. I have people I consult with, sounding boards, stuff like that. All of them are in this fucking game, so I can't. My 3 sounding boards in general, Trish, first and foremost, Coffee, second, and Dan, my friend, third, right there. They're all in the game. So, first of all, I don't have anybody else to help seed me ideas, and second of all, nobody's editing me. Like, it's just whatever the fuck I come up with. I don't have anybody reining me in. This is going to be a nightmare. I can't even talk about it here, because this is a place, like, with my normal gaming group, I can talk about shit here, because none of them listen. Coffee listens regularly. So I can't even talk about it here, which is too bad, because I think it's a pretty cool premise I came up with. Can't even talk about it, because I want it. It's not a mysterious game. I want the premise to be a surprise, because I just think it's insanely clever, which probably means it's crap. And I could, people have been like, go to Dave Avid. And I'm like, I could go to Dave Avid. The problem is, Dave Avid's a whole other level above me. When I come to Dave Avid with stuff, 2 things happen. One, he's just blindly supportive, which is makes me feel good, but it's not helpful. It's just telling me that I'm already doing fine, which that, I know I need some critical feedback. And the other thing is, he uncovers levels that I hadn't thought of and just freaks me out more. He will ask questions that I'm like, I hadn't even considered that, which sounds helpful, but he just has a ton of them because he just breathes game design. So afterwards, with him, it's not so much that like I have a clearer vision. It's more like, I'm not qualified to do this. So I'm like, no. I mean, he's a brilliant guy, but talking with him will just make me more worried about how this is going to go. So we'll see what is going to happen. I am kind of excited about it, though. But yeah, I got the premise. I think I have the basic arc down. I have to make it very modular because we're only playing for the one day, and I'm always bad at estimating how long things are going to take.
Sure.
So I'm like, okay, this and this and this and this. And then if we're running short on time, I'll take this one out, and so forth. And now I have to work on the characters. I purposely did it this way, because I'm pre-generating characters. But I purposely worked out the story arc, and now I'm going to make characters to make sure that like everybody has use.
Sure.
And things. But I have to make 7 of them.
That's a lot.
It's insane. So I'm working on that, but that's fun. Anyway, we should finish up here, because William's falling asleep. And you're probably also falling asleep, because this was a rambling couple of episodes, and it was mostly me doing the rambling. But it just goes to show you people, we love you, but we don't do this for you. We just do this for us and the cats. That being said, please write in themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Please. We don't got shit. We need your help. Otherwise, I'm just going to tell you about more terrible movies I saw on Riff Tracks, and nobody wants that, including me. It's time for Riff Tracks, Riff Tracks.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.